Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Ray Allen. Good to see Ray on the other side of the glass. Ray, of course, our operations manager here, ace of many, many different, let's say he wears lots of different hats here at KVOI. And Ray and I go back a long time because Ray was basically engineering and producing my show for a couple of years. So it's good to see Ray on the other side of the glass. Does a great job. It is the Buckmaster Show. Here we are, one day away from the final day of July. And what a July it has been. We are, I just looked at these numbers, we're about a half an inch from the all-time wettest month ever recorded in Tucson, Arizona. And when you live in the desert and you see something like that, that's pretty exciting. So if we get up to close to 8 inches, the record was August, the month of August in 1955. So, I mean, we had more rain up at our house last night. So it's entirely possible in the next couple of days that we could break the record. We're on 1030. Our radio station is Tucson's trusted source for news talk. Our call letters, KVOI. We are pushing now into our January will be the start of our 12th year here on the radio. Time flies. Worldwide live listening podcast at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications. Jim Nensel is going to be joining us and is joining us now on the live line. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are things down at the station?
Things are going very well. So let me get this right. Your portfolio includes, of course, your beloved Tucson Weekly, where you're the executive editor. You've got Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Is that still the lineup?
That's still the lineup. Today we're working on getting Desert Times and Foothills News to the printer.
Okay.
And then Monday will be Explorer and Marana, and then and Tuesday is Tucson Weekly, and then we start the whole thing over again. And
there you go.
Work on
All right.
So it's a treadmill.
There you go. Jim, it's a pleasure for us to welcome. We'll be talking today with our Friday Focus interviewee, Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. Laura was elected last November, replacing, well, actually, that's not entirely, you were actually elected, Laura, in the primary, right? So, I mean, technically, you went through the general, but you didn't have an opponent in the general.
Right, right,
so,
three-way primary.
Yeah, and you won quite handedly in the primary, so congratulations again on that. And you replaced Barbara LaWall. Barbara served in the office for a quarter of a century. So, Laura Conover, always great to welcome you back to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's always good to be here.
We have to start with acknowledging, unfortunately, that there is some bad news. That incident on Sunday, July the 18th, was a horrific attack. And we now have learned that the 20-year-old emergency tech from American Medical Response, Jacob Dedinger, has lost his battle. He had gunshot wounds, and he has lost his life. What a tragedy.
It's unspeakable. And our hearts go out to his family and to his community. It goes out to the Good Samaritan neighbor who lost his life and that family. Our hearts go out to a woman reported to have just had such a big heart and a sunshine smile. And all of this, you know, reportedly at the hands of a man suffering serious mental illness who got his hands on a firearm. It's unspeakable tragedy to be dealing with this. And ordinarily, Bill, I cannot speak in detail about a case, but this is very different because there won't, with the suspect deceased, there won't be a case. And so...
Yeah, if it was an ongoing... That's right. If there was an ongoing investigation, you would not be able to really elaborate on comments on this. Go ahead.
That's right. And our portion of the investigation concluded this morning, in fact. And so this coming week, we are going to be looking very seriously at the why and the how and what we can continue to do every day to work on information and education and prevention, how we can provide victim advocacy and support so that people can reach out before the final moments of escalation. And we're working on this around the clock.
The mental illness issue is just huge. Jim, did you want to jump in on this before we move on to another topic?
Well, I wonder, Laura, hello.
And, hi, Jim.
And I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the challenges of keeping firearms out of the hands of folks who have mental illness. And, of course, you know, there are a lot of folks who have mental illness in one way or another who probably are not a danger and perhaps should not be prohibited from having a firearm. But talk a little bit about how challenging that can be.
Well, in recent years, even in Arizona, we've looked at these red flag laws that are possible where we have the warning signs and you can petition, and then there's due process. The person gets a chance to respond, but the claim is that a person is not of sound mind and should not be in possession of a firearm. And those kinds of laws have protected people in other states. I would encourage Arizona to look at it again. There's been some bipartisan support for that in recent years. So I'd like to see it come back up. In the meantime, Jim, I want to tell you that three times a year, and it's going on right now this week, there is a massive crisis intervention training. And so 57 young officers from 8 different agencies were gathered for a full week of crisis intervention training, how to co-respond to certain kinds of crisis calls with social workers and medical and behavioral health workers, how to learn the skills of de-escalation that we so desperately need in the community so we can prevent what happened on the 18th.
I didn't know about this intervention. These officers from all different jurisdictions, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, yes, 8 different agencies all over Southern Arizona. It was a beautiful thing to observe. I had a while to speak with them, and we kind of did an ask me anything. Ask the county attorney any questions. I do that all the time. Ask me anything. That's what I need to be here for. I need to answer the tough questions. And it was a beautiful thing to behold. It's the intervention training that comes out of the MIST, the Mental Health Support Team. The Crisis Response Center is there so that officers know what the CRC is and how it works. And then it's all about 622-6000. Bill, Jim, I can't repeat that number enough.
What is it?
622-6000 is the phone number to call when you need immediate help because someone's in crisis, rather than calling 911, so that you get the medical response rather than the police response.
Hmm. And I assume that's a 24/7 phone operation.
It is. It's an amazing thing.
Hmm.
And Laura, who does this training again?
Is it
a local organization?
It's a 4-way partnership on the coordinating council. The mental health support team, of course, is the law enforcement angle. Pima County, my office, and TPD, Tucson Police Department, and the Sheriff's Department are the real anchors of it.
Hmm. Well, we learned something here, and again, the number is
yes, 622-6000,
and that would be. Call that if you have a mental health issue, even rather than 911.
Right. You've got, yeah. And it's when you know you've got a family member in crisis, you're seeing disorientation, and it's not a violent situation. It's not a situation where you need 911 to respond, but you need emergency care. You need a crisis response rather than the police response.
Laura Conover is with us, Pima County Attorney. Laura, how is it going your first, let's see, about seven months into the job? And there's been some publicity, as you're well aware of, that about turnover in your office. What is it? 58 nearly 60 departures. Is it that people have left since you took over? Is that something like that? That's a number.
I think that sounds right. And yes, there's been publicity about it, as there should be, because this is a massive transition and a moment in history. It is unusual in DA's offices across the nation to have one unbroken continuous administration for 44 years. I mean, it might be, you know, record-setting on the national level. It's highly unusual. And so when you have a brand new administration come in, it's a focus of a lot of transition, a lot of change. For better or for worse, I did not fire a single prosecutor, but they're also free. They're free to leave. They're free to grow in a different direction. They don't have to go in the way Pima County is mandating them to go. And we wish them well. And that's the bottom line of what's going on there. Now, in replacement, we are successfully headhunting some very serious talent and bringing them in. You know, we thank the Attorney General's office for our new appellate chief, who came over after 12 years of serious homicide and capital litigation, and he's going to be the lead of our new appeals unit. And then all the incredible new hires who are just flooding in the doors and who want to join this movement.
Yeah, and we should clarify, Barbara Lawal was the legal official here in the county for 25 years. But then before Barbara, Barbara was a disciple of Steve Neely. And Steve was here. I think I first met Steve, interviewed him on TV a million years ago. I think it was my first week on Channel 6 in 1988. So, and he had been already there for quite a while. So, I mean, you have people who have been very tied to the previous leadership and the way they did business.
Absolutely. They started, you know, we had people who started their careers with Steve Neely, who started in 76, I believe.
Oh, so I had interviewed him after he'd been there a couple of years.
Right. And Barbara was his second in command, and they devoted their careers to that administration. And now Pima County is asked to go in a different way. Look, I think what's important to say here is that even in 1996, when Barbara was elected in her own three-way Democratic primary, Pima County elected the most tough-on-crime prosecutor. That was her platform, and that's what they decided they wanted. The voters wanted a tough-on-crime prosecutor. We are now in an era of smart-on-crime. We need outcome-driven policies where the data backs up what we're doing. We need to be smart with limited resources, and we need to make sure that we are returning substance abuse disorder and mental illness to the medical and behavioral health community so that we can focus on victim crime.
Jim, it's time to take the break, but I want to bring you in here before the break, because I know you've got a question or two concerning all of this. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure. One of the things you talked about, Laura, was remedying wrongful convictions and reducing unduly harsh sentences. And I'm wondering, have you made much headway on anything there? And do you think, can you fill us in on the progress on that front?
We have launched our new conviction and sentence integrity unit, and we are already receiving applications. There is a Supreme Court mandate, actually, to look in particular at juveniles who had been sentenced to life sentences. And those cases are now, there's an order for those cases to be reviewed. It's called the JWAP cases, juvenile life without parole. And so the unit is live and active and seeking applications, and we have been able to pursue a couple of cases where in the light of today, you know, the sentences are just extraordinarily excessive because of the era in which they come from. And so we're taking a hard look at those, especially for people who have demonstrated perfect records, you know, for decades behind bars.
But you're not in any way saying you're not tough on crime when you need to be.
Oh, of course not. There is no shortage of dedicated prosecutors in our office who are going after violent crime, you know, crimes against children, homicides, with the full force and weight of the government and all resources behind them. Luckily, that remains a small percentage of the overall function of the entire criminal justice system. And what that means is that by increasing the resources to violent crime, we can take a look at what the rest of the office is doing and really turn around and make smart choices about how to use limited resources.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Laura Conover, Pima County attorney, is my guest in studio. Jim Nensel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, is in our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our thanks for their support over the years. Green Things, we love them. They're our favorite nursery. We'll be right back with Laura Conover, 790-2040, if you'd like to join the conversation. With a question for Laura, she would be happy to entertain it.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. And each Friday, we bring in a newsmaker and we sit down and go one-on-one with the newsmaker. Today, it is Laura Conover, Pima County Attorney. Jim Nintzel is with us on the live line. Jim, did you want to follow up on anything you just heard about kind of the change of direction of the office?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, Laura, you've said that the office will no longer be seeking the death penalty, and I just wanted you to talk about why you decided that was the right direction to go.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So, Jim, interestingly, in my personal history of growing up here in Tucson, this has been a huge shift. When I was first studying the death penalty as a student, you know, the state was really in support of it, and the tradition of the Pima County Attorney's Office was to seek it with regularity. By the three-way Democratic primary in 2020, all three candidates were avowing that the death penalty here in Pima County was coming to an end. And that surprised me, to be honest, that was an issue we agreed on. Of course, carrying out your promises is daunting. You have to do what you promised to do, but it's grueling work. I can say that I had five meetings to let the people know who mattered most about what I was doing and why, and how this had come about in the community and going forward. And I can't tell you the graciousness that these conversations were received with. And by the end of that, we decertified. Two cases were left. There had been four pending. Two cases were left when I arrived, and we decertified the last case. And then that let us close the capital structure down, the capital homicide unit and panel, and close it all down. So again, we could use those resources now for what's happening now, rather than appeals that can stretch on literally 42 years. There's a case pending right now that's been 42 years with an execution date set now.
That's unbelievable. Right. And that my next question was going to be, if you look at the death penalty and you look at life in prison, which is more costly to the taxpayer?
Oh, it's clear. It's a runaway winner that the death penalty is just exorbitantly expensive. And again, we have to have smart justice. So resources are finite. I need to be tackling the homicide rate that is happening right here, right now in Pima County. I can't write a blank check to my most talented appeals attorney of taxpayer money and ask him or her to litigate the same case for the next 30, 40 years.
Maybe that's their entire career.
Absolutely. It happens. And we have to turn away from those arcane practices that just aren't suiting us.
Ray, I think we've got a call, right? We have Sixto, how are you, sir?
Real well, thank you.
Go ahead, Sixto.
I have a mental health question or
yes.
comment.
Thank you, Chief.
Years ago, police and family members, if they noticed a citizen or a family member having a mental health episode, they could call the police, and the police or the family member could commit that person for 72 hours to get some mental health help. And that's, during that 72 hours, they could be stabilized, they could get medication if they needed it. that does not seem to exist anymore. Now there's a CRC, but when the police take people to the CRC, very often, you know, the patient comes in the front door and then immediately goes out the back door. There is no 72-hour hold. I would ask that you do something to bring that back, because nobody knows better than a family member when one of the family members is having a mental health episode and when they're dangerous. And it seems now we're reacting to a situation after the fact, after, you know, a lot of tragic events have occurred in many cases. So Chief, that's my comment.
Chief, thank you so much for this call, because I think it's a chance for us to really inform the public on the options. Title 36 is still absolutely available. It's one of the most critical units in my office, in the mental health unit in my civil law firm, you know, reminding us that the Pima County Attorney's Office is a criminal prosecution law firm and a civil law firm and the Victim Services Division. Title 36 is still available, and that's the commitment opportunity. Depending on the severity, a person can be held until they are stable enough to return out into society. And in fact, we've seen commitments as long as 90 days to give a person a chance really to get healthy again. The Crisis Response Center, the CRC, is a whole new layer now of immediate responsive care. They can take a person right through the front door, as you said. Now, it's always a question of resources. So they have a policy, Chief, at the CRC that they will take everyone. And so that does mean that we're not seeing long stays. We are seeing short stays for short evaluation, and then trying to determine what the second layer of aftercare will be afterwards. So it's daunting. This is a huge issue, Chief. You're absolutely right. And it's become pervasive, I think, especially as this pandemic just wears on and wears people down.
Yeah, that was Sixto Molina calling us. He spent 10 years as the South Tucson Police Chief, 25 years before that with the Tucson Police Department.
That's
Sixto
right.
Molina. So we appreciate Sixto joining us on the Buckmaster Show with his input. The marijuana front, the law changed a couple of weeks ago, actually. Arizona law made it easier for people with minor marijuana arrests and convictions to have their record basically erased. What's being done in that regard, Laura Conover?
Yes, Bill, this is so exciting, because for so many years, in so many states across the country, people had a chance to get expungement. And by that, I mean they could earn a clean slate. They could get something old off of their record so that they could move on with their lives. We have not meaningfully had that at all in Arizona. And so what it means is that a person lives forever with that felony mark upon them, making it so difficult in the arenas of schooling, housing, work. And it's a public safety issue. If you make it impossible for people to get housing, to go to school, to work, then you're trapping them in a life that no one wants.
And that could be a small. They could be have convicted on a very small amount of marijuana.
Yeah. So Bill, realistically, this is only a first small step. This is expungement for the simple possession, personal possession of marijuana under 2.5 ounces. But we're doing everything we can on our end to make it as easy as possible. You can go to our website and fill out a form. And submit it, and we'll do the work for you. We don't want this to be intimidating. No one needs to be figuring out how to file a motion and appear in front of a judge. Let the attorneys do that. Let us help you establish whether you qualify, and we'll file the motion for you.
I assume there's no charge for that?
Nope, completely free. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
All right, Jim, I want to bring you in if you've got another comment here, a question, before we let Laura go.
I do.
Okay.
You know, the AP recently reported that the Pima County Recorder's Office forwarded 151 cases to your office regarding potential voter fraud. And, of course, with all that's going on with the audit and the other questions of election integrity, I'm wondering if you could talk about what kind of potential fraud was involved with those cases and if your staff is following up on any of those.
Absolutely. The Civil Division, again, the civil law firm has an elections unit. And from my understanding, the recorder's office very understandably wants to take a very conservative approach and send over anything that could have the slightest question about it. And absolutely, we're looking at every single one. That I don't think there's a final report on that, and so while it's pending, I won't elaborate further, but because I can't, but we're taking each one of those very seriously.
Can you talk just broadly about the kinds, without getting into specifics of cases, like the kind? Are these folks who have cast an early ballot and then shown up at the polling place, or is there something else going on? Or can you talk broadly about the nature of these cases?
What I can say is that the request, I think, coming over from the recorder's office is that the absolute, you know, near 98% of the requests, you know, appear to be like typographical clerical situations. So my understanding is that the office is looking closely at a couple of cases in particular, but it's in mind to be with the most conservative and most transparent approach possible.
And how long before you think a report will be available on this?
I think because of those numbers I just mentioned, I think they're near the end of it.
Okay,
Jim, did you have any more?
If we have time, you know, one of the things that I think you've been trying to work with your prosecutors on is talking about the consequences of charges for both documented and undocumented immigrants in the country, criminal charges. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, what's involved with that.
Yes, I can. Our very first office-wide training was with a local leading immigration law expert to help prosecutors identify when a person may be at risk for deportation, because we need to remember that even legal permanent residents, you know, immigrants who have been invited to live here as residents, you know, with a green card, can be absolutely in danger of deportation for even the most absolutely minor of police contacts. So it's wanting to raise just the recognition and like the awareness, so that we don't end up with a situation where a prosecutor is trying to arrange for a probation outcome and doesn't even realize deportation could be the result. With an eye to that, we're trying to raise the bar just across the office. 38% of all new hires in the office are bilingual, to make sure that we're serving all parts of the community, especially in our victim communication. And we now have two attorneys with immigration law experience and background, so that colleagues can simply pop into their office and say, hey, explain this to me. What am I looking at here in these immigration reports?
All right. Jim Nensel, thank you for your input on the conversation. Jim, stick around. I want to talk to you after the break. And Laura Conover, thank you very much. And it would also, we had already some interest. Folks want to know again about that hotline, the mental health hotline number, please.
Yes, I would love to repeat it. 622-6000. It's a number we should all be repeating everywhere we go.
All right, Laura, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studios continues. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back. Jim Nensel and I will talk a bit right after this.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies,
at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. A very good conversation, lots of content there. Jim Nintzel was on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And, you know, the reason I'm in this business is to learn things, Jim Nintzel, and I try to learn something every day. And I was not aware of this training that's going on, this multi-police agency law enforcement training that is going on for mental health issues for law enforcement officers to be aware of, you know, when they spot an issue that crops up in the mental health realm. And I didn't know about the hotline number.
Nor did I. And I will say, you know, since I don't know much about it, you know, there's not much I can really comment on other than I think it's you know, a very good step in terms of dealing with law, dealing with mental illness in the law enforcement community. I think I can certainly recall Sheriff Dubnyk, former Pima County Sheriff Dubnyk, who was there, I think, perhaps even longer than the Steve Neely and Barbara Rain,
I think so.
As a single individual.
Yeah.
But, you know, he often said that the Pima County Jail was the primary mental health treatment unit in the county, and expressed his disappointment with that situation. So, you know, I do think that obviously when you're mentally ill, you often have trouble dealing with with other people and the laws of society, and law enforcement gets involved. And there probably are cheaper and better ways or better outcomes that can come from programs where you work with understanding de-escalation in situations like that, as well as understanding that at times the mental health counselors can make a lot more sense than sending somebody to Pima County Jail.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Election Day, which is coming up. It's coming up on Tuesday, and although only registered voters living in wards 3, 5, and 6 are eligible to vote in the primary, candidates will be elected at large during the general election. And there are no races in the Republican Party primary, with only a write-in. I believe it's Val Romero, write-in in Ward 3. And Mr. Romero must receive enough votes to advance to the general election. Jim,
let me correct you. Okay. There, it's actually Val Romero's on the ballot as an independent in Ward 6.
Oh boy, thank you. That's why I'm glad I've got you with me on the live line here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Romero.
There is a candidate, a write-in candidate in is it Ward 3? You caught me off guard here, and I'm trying to find that information right now about the candidates. There is a write-in candidate on the Republican Party, which has really struggled, I think, in the city of Tucson elections in recent years. It struggled to win, but recently even struggled to recruit candidates.
Yeah, and I've two independents will be on the general election ballot in wards 3 and 6, and Councilman Richard Fimbres is uncontested in the primary and also in November.
So, and there's a Ward 3, Alan Harwell Jr.
Okay,
is, running as a Republican write-in candidate, so he's going to have to get, can't even tell you the number of votes he has to get, but he has to get a few hundred votes of people spelling his name correctly in order to appear on the November ballot.
Steve Kasachek, he is searching and standing for a fourth four-year term. Is Councilman Kasachek in any trouble, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's tough to say because elections have changed. I will say that I can't remember the last time an elected Democrat lost a primary in the city of Tucson. I think you'd have to go back to, 50 years to see that happening or more. So it certainly doesn't happen very often. Appointed Democrats on a few occasions have lost. They're filling out someone else's term, and they try to run in a primary, and they'll often get knocked off by a Democrat. But an elected Democrat very rarely happens. I mean, that's partially because there are probably very few challenges. But, you rarely even see an elected Democrat lose a general election. And I think the last time we saw that happen, actually, was when Steve Kaye was a Republican and he defeated Nina Trasoff. So he's something of a black swan in that respect. And, of course, after that, he feuded with the Republicans in Phoenix, and he switched over to the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party welcomed him with open arms. This year, he does have a challenge from two candidates, Andres Alexander Portela and Miranda Schubert. And of the two, Miranda seems to have raised more money and has been a little more aggressive in her campaigning. So, if anyone's going to come out on top of Steve Kaye, I would suspect it would be Miranda, but history does not suggest that's likely to happen. On the other hand, Steve Kaye has upset a lot of Midtown residents because of his stance on the zoo expansion. A lot of folks obviously really wanted to protect that lake and Barnum Hill there in Midtown's Reed Park from becoming the new tiger exhibit, and the council has backed off on that plan, and they're looking at some alternatives. And Steve Kaye has said, no, listen, you're spending $8 million to save Barnum Hill. It's a ridiculous expense of money. The folks who are on the other side of that say, well, that's because the city should have done more outreach in the first place, and it's not their fault that this money is being wasted. All that said, Steve Kaye has been very active on a lot of lefty fronts, from gun control to helping immigrants who are coming to this town, to fighting against those 5G poles that are popping up in neighborhoods. And I think he's earned a lot of goodwill from the voters in the district. But, you know, that's why we have elections, and we'll see what happens on Election Day.
Then the other contested race, Ward 3, two Democrats, Juan Padres, going against Kevin Dahl. Who do you like? Who do you like? As a news person, you probably don't like, you're not supposed to tell us who you like.
Yeah, you know, I think both of them are solid candidates. This is an open seat. Paul Durham stepped down earlier this year for personal reasons, and Karen Ulick, the former councilwoman, stepped in to finish out his term but did not seek the seat another time. So it is an open seat. And so anybody, obviously we're going to have a new face there. Kevin Dahl, longtime environmental activist, well-known in the neighborhood communities that used to really be a force in these primaries. So if that's still the case, he may have a leg up. But on the other hand, he doesn't have great name ID, neither does Juan Padres. And you know, turnout in these races is going to be pretty low. We've sent out 95,000 ballots to households. You know, this is an all-male ballot process. So people can, if they haven't voted yet, they should definitely drop off their ballots at the election centers that are going to be open in the wards on Tuesday. Only 19,000 of those 95,000 ballots have been returned. I'm sure it's uneven. As you said, Richard Fimbres doesn't have any opposition at all, so probably not a lot of people voting in that race, so they'll be voting in the other two. But that's like a 20% return of ballots so far, which is a, you know, city elections generally have low turnout, but this one, you can't really have rallies, Bill. You can't. There's been very few debates, and the ones they've had have been mostly, you know, Zoom events, and a couple hundred people tune into them. So, you know, I don't think there's been a real robust opportunity for the candidates to get out there and debate. But, you know, they're still going door to door, but, you know, people are nervous when people turn up at the door.
It's just the
old rules of campaigning are just kind of out the window in a lot of ways until we get out of this pandemic. And so I really don't know which way that one's going to go, but I suspect it's going to be a low turnout election, and we'll have a new face on the council either way. That's a rather bland prediction, I know. But.
All right. Always a pleasure, Jim Nensel. I'll let you get back to work over there at the Tucson Weekly and in turning out your other publications as well today.
Take care, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot. Jim Nensel with us on the Buckmaster Show. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch, next.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026. And invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
And to the strains of Bob Marley, Stir It Up! Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This would be a great weekend to hop in the car, take the three-hour drive east to Tucson, just get away from it all for a while, and just chill over in a really beautiful area. The mountains are so green right now. The Gila National Wilderness, very, very pretty over in Silver City. To find out what to do, and there are a lot of things to do, and where to stay, there's some great places to stay. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just on the other side of Phoenix, heading up to Flagstaff now, Bill.
Not much
precip planned for Tucson, so we're following the clouds to have some more rain this weekend.
Oh, it will be delightful up there, up in the high country, and the mountains all green and the cool nights. And speaking of, these summer nights have been so lovely. Great chance to get out.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a fun new series of events is off and running on the last Friday of every month at the MSA Annex, of course, right off Congress, west of I-10. It's the Summer Night Market. Tonight from 6 to 10 p.m., more than 40 local vendors will be there, along with most of our favorite MSA Annex shops. They're going to be staying open late. Great restaurant concepts, call the Annex home, and they're going to be dishing out their best. Live DJ music. Even celebrity mixologist Karen Weiss is going to be doing some shaking and stirring tonight. Eat, drink, and shop under the stars tonight at the Summer Night Market.
Hey, what's going on with our friends that do Finney's Landing?
Yeah, you know, you've heard me talk about Finney's for several years here.
Sure.
On Week and Watch, and that maritime-themed bar and grill on the dock of the bay at Sunrise and Swan. Well, this week they've announced their opening of their sister restaurant, simply called The Landing, on Oracle, just north of McGee. You'll expect a similar vibe when you walk through the doors of this coastal culinary and cocktail concept with some of the favorite Finneys that we all love. But executive chef Ryan Jones is planning some beautiful new dishes that you won't find at the original location. So this weekend is the perfect time to ride the surf to Oro Valley and take a dip at The Landing.
Hey, what else is going on with locations? You know, some of our great restaurants deciding things are looking better for some expansions.
Absolutely, and the news continues to come off the wire. More is on tap in Oro Valley this weekend with the opening of the third location of Sace Kitchen on Oracle, just south of the El Conquistador Resort. They started out as a food truck, Bill, just a few years ago, and now they have three locations serving up regional Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Tacos, of course, are at the center of the story. So with my affection for foldable foods, I expect to head over to Sace when I get back from Flagstaff for a platter of tacos. I just say C to Sace this weekend.
There you go. What's in the column this week?
Well, hopheads are going to rejoice. Next Thursday is National IPA Day, and I have some suggestions for those of us who prefer their beers on the bitter and slightly more spirituous sides. It's in this week's Tucson Weekly and inside Tucson business.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy Flagstaff. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks. Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Christophon. My thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, everybody here at KVOI, including Ray Allen, Tom Fairbanks, John Couch, the whole team at Bustos Media. Have a great weekend, everybody.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.